They messed up the beginning of this tape, so I'm starting again. It's 8th December 1986. December 1986. I'm sitting in my office. Sheila's here. Nadim is here. Nadim is touching the buttons on the tape recorder. Can you say Jay Baba? Or can you say hello to Grandma and Grandpa in America?
Jay Baba.
Say hello, Grandma and Grandpa in America.
Hello.
Grandma and Grandpa.
Fenster. America.
You gonna come and see them soon?
Yeah.
You wanna go to America?
Yeah.
What do you want to do there?
With chocolate.
Chocolate?
Yeah.
Grandma and Grandpa will give you chocolate?
Yes.
And butter.
You wanna buy something in America?
Cookies.
Cookies? Grandma makes good cookies. Chocolate chip cookies you like, isn't it?
No, then cookie is dippy.
It's spicy. What, you like cake, chocolate cake?
Yes.
What else do you like?
Cookie.
You like cookies. Chocolate chip cookies or coconut cookies?
Coconut.
What about brownies?
Brownies.
Armin is at school now. We're going to go pick him up in a little bit.
Hey.
What are you doing, Adim?
Yeah, Baba.
Say, I love you, Grandma and Grandpa.
I don't love you.
You don't?
No.
What about Paula and Ellen and Steve and Jared and Sam and George and Marcy? Do you love them?
Yes.
You love them? You want to go and play with them?
Yes. Okay, Baba.
All right. Anyway, here's Sheila. She's feeling better. And she thanks you for sending your concern about her health. She's up and around now. Anyway, I'm going to stop this just now, and I'll tell you all the news after I pick up Almond. Hope we get your tape soon, too.
Daddy.
Want to hear this back, Adim? Should we listen to it?
Hey, no.
I'm sending this tape to Grandma and Grandpa in America. I want to call this to you. Angie, say hello. Yeah.
Hello?
Thank you. Grandma and Grandpa in America. This is Almond. Talking.
Hello?
Yeah, talk. This is Grandma and Grandpa in America. Your great grandma, remember? Tell them something. Say, I'm coming to see you. And I love you. I think
Grandma? What's that doing?
They're going to listen to this tape. We're sending this tape to them.
Yeah, but why are they not talking?
They're not talking. This tape, we're sending, we're making a tape and sending it to them for listening there in the mail.
They won't talk?
It's not a telephone. It's a tape recorder. You tell them what you want to say.
Okay. Grandma, I'm coming to see you. What is it I say?
And I love you a lot. I miss you.
I love you a lot and I miss you. Yeah. Can they help me?
We're gonna send them this tape. And we're going to go and see Ellen and Sam and Jared. And
when?
After your school is off. What do you remember about America that Grandma used to make for you? Something good, anything?
Grandma, when I come to America, make me chocolate.
Make you what? Say it clearly.
Make me thunder.
Carrot souffle, he's remembering. Like his daddy. And anything else you want to say? She said that she found your blue car, and she's keeping it for you. She found it.
What it is?
It was in that room, in that closet.
Oh.
She's keeping it for you when we come there, your blue car.
Grandma, when I come to America, will you let me take Jack in the Box? Yes?
He keeps seeing pictures of a Jack in the Box, and I told him when we go to America, we'll see, we'll find one. So he said, well, if it's at Grandma's house, will she let me take it home to India? I said, I don't know, we'll have to see.
What else did I say?
All right, see you soon. All love and kisses.
See you soon, and all love and kisses. I'm sending to America.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay, well, Almond and Adim are both here now in front of me, and they're grabbing the microphone. Almond has something else to say.
So, when I come to America, just give me that blue card to take to India.
And what does Adim say? Ask your brother some questions. What do you want to say,
Adim? That's Almond.
Almond.
Who?
You're singing a song? Why don't you say, for Grandma, A, B, C, D. How do you say?
A, B, C, D, G, F, G.
H, I, J, K.
L, M, N, O, P.
Q, R, S.
G.
How homeopathy has fared in Britain since the time of Hahn.
P.
W, X.
L, M, N, C.
Good. And now count, 1, 2, 3, 4.
5.
No, count, one. Start 1, 2, 3, 4.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
And then what?
6. 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 9, 7, 9, 7, 9, 7, 8, 9.
And then after 9, what?
1, 10.
Okay, now let me tell them some news here. We have some stuff to tell them. Tell them about your school. Tell them about what you do every day. Where you went. Good. Tell them about your life.
I go to school and I do a lot of things, but, you know.
What are you learning to do? You learn to read, write?
I'm learning to read, write, everything, you know. That's how I feel to do. And I was about to tell you that. So, it's good in school. I always be good and like that.
And then what happens when you get home from school? What do you do?
I just watch TV and I eat my dinner. I go to school and I do a lot of things.
What are you learning to do? You learn to read, write?
I'm learning to read, write, everything, you know. That's how I feel to do. I was about to tell you that. So,
your tuition classes, and where do we usually go in the evening?
We go to the another club, then we have fun.
What else?
I have a lot of fun there, so it's really great there, you know.
And tell them about your new house that we're building.
We're building a new house, and we have to go to Mehrabad every day to see that house, you know. So it's really good to go there.
Okay. Now, they're going to have their lunch now. Sheila made them some omelets.
And they're eating omelets, yeah.
No, Almond has ketchup on his omelet. He likes kids.
Now let's hear it on that.
Anyway, so the kids are eating their lunch, now watching TV, and I'm going to tell you some things here. Enclosed, Dad, you'll find two visa statements from when I went to Pune. After writing you last, in November, I guess it was, I did end up going to Pune. I took Almond with me to buy electrical things. But when we were there, Sheila was feeling all right, but then I got a phone call to come back to Naga because she was in the hospital again. And what happened is she had just got a bout of vomiting again, and the doctor just said keep her in the hospital. And it was a different doctor this time. So I had to come back from Pune after just staying overnight. And found her in the hospital, and basically also they said there was nothing wrong with her physically or functionally. So she stayed in this other hospital in 4 or 5 days and came home, and then has been gradually recovering so that she's really pretty much back to normal now. But it was pretty crazy there for a while. I got your letter, Mom, of the 20th of November and also 4th November. Your 4th November letter came a month on 4th December. It took a month to get here. The other one came much sooner, so I understand you're going to be sending me a tape, and maybe I'll get it before I send this one. I hope you had a nice time with George and Marcy and everybody in Tulsa for Thanksgiving, and we thought about you all that weekend. I'm also enclosing a rough itinerary. What's on the TV?
The rhino.
The rhino's on the TV, okay.
Going away.
The rhino's going away?
Yeah.
Okay, go and watch it. Go and watch it on the TV. Okay. The rhino's running away on TV. Anyway, I'm enclosing a rough itinerary. Our plans now are we're going to try to go to Bombay on the 22nd of December and coming back the 2nd of January. I have to, again, take the car to Pune, and then we'll drop it off there and then go to Bombay. And I have a lot of things to do there about the house and the travel agent and a whole bunch of things. So Amin will have his Christmas vacation then. And hopefully she will be all right and be able to go and nothing will happen. But anyway, before I've talked to this travel agent even, I went over some airline books and just kind of looked at what's available. And I typed up this rough itinerary so you can look it over and try to get back to me on it to see if it fits in with your plans, Paula's, Steve's, and George and Marcy, so I can have a pretty much idea of what's going to be happening when we go there and buy the tickets here and before we leave and book all the flights, because April is a very heavy rush season here in India, people leaving to go to America and other places. Basically, you'll see that we leave here the 29th of April, and Sheila wants to break up the trip somewhere going over because it's such a long journey from Bombay to Tulsa. So the plane goes to Paris, and we may be able to get a discount sort of package deal to stay over there for a week. We have friends in Paris. If not, we might go to Amsterdam. We'll see. But looks like now we'll be flying TWA everywhere, and we have to fly TWA in America also. That's why there's... I've given the timings of their flights now, but I'm sure that'll change by the time we come. But anyway, we'd be stopping a week in Paris and then come to Tulsa on the 6th, because you said you'd be back on the 4th of May. And then check these dates with Paul and Steve and George and Marcy, whether it's all right to come to Miami on the 14th of May and Chicago on the 19th and then back to Tulsa. I try to get 2 weekends, 1 weekend with each of them. And then we'll leave from Kansas City on the 7th of July, which is a Tuesday, straight to Bombay. I don't think we'll be going to Myrtle Beach or anywhere else during our visit, because the publisher of all these books I've been working on has just been here. He's leaving tomorrow for 2 weeks, and he's brought me all the proofs for the second volume. This book that currently came out, it's a 20-volume series. The one I was editing, this biography, the first volume came out some months ago, and the next volume is scheduled to come out next June or so. So he brought me the work here, and we've been having a lot of meetings and everything about it. So I don't think I'm going to have to go to Myrtle Beach. So we'll just stick to that. So you all discuss it amongst yourselves and get back to me. Our house is... going all right. They finished the slab on one side of it. That's one part of the roof. And they're going to start the other slab, other side of it, this week. We had some really fantastic news in that this water situation is so critical here. I had to spend $100 a week on water while they're curing the slab. And it's still going on. We're having to buy tankers because our well just doesn't have any water in it, basically, to support that kind of use. So Sheila's father has arranged for us to tap into the Maribod water source. They're pumping water from the city. They laid a big pipeline into a big, huge storage tank at Maribod. And apparently they're getting more water now than they can use. So they are going to allow us to lay a pipeline from our property to their pipeline and tap into their use. This is an expensive proposition. However, what it is an assured source of water for the rest of our lives, basically. I mean, they've said it's only when they have a surplus of water that they will give us water, but it looks like they will have a surplus for time to come. And hopefully our well will also, if the rains are good, fill up. But I didn't hesitate an inch to say yes to this thing because it's just an unbelievable, I never expected them to allow us to do this. And it's an unforeseen expense, but it's one that's well worth it because, we'll have enough water to finish the construction and to live there. So we're really, really happy and excited about this possibility, and I'm going out there today to start on them, the workers digging up the pipeline, and I got to go purchase the pipe and the valves and everything. And hopefully after about 10 days, they'll start giving us a supply of water, and we can stop buying these tankers. And then, the water will just go directly into our well, and we'll store it up there and then pump it out into our storage tanks as we need it. What are your dates for going to Florida? I'm glad to read that Grandma's feeling better and has gained weight. We've had several deaths here in the immediate circle of people you met when you were here, that Ronno Gailey, who was an American artist and was living here, died on Saturday. Get out of there! Then Baba's cousin Pendu, who was in a wheelchair when you saw him, he died about a month ago. Yeah, I do have to make all my travel plans from India before I leave in order to avail of these more reasonably priced tickets. So I would like to make some definite dates on those before I come. We loved reading about Sam and his speech, and we could just picture the whole scene that you described. I'm talking to my mommy and my daddy in America.
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
To talk.
What are you going to say? Sing a song. What song do you know? Baba Black Sheep?
Baba Black Sheep. Baba Black Sheep.
Have you any more?
Have you any more? But for my neck, we will fly on my limb.
Yeah, that's almost right. What other song do you know? Humpty Dumpty?
Humpty Dumpty, don't sit on the wall.
No? Humpty Dumpty had a great?
Boy.
All the king's horses?
All the king's horses. Not for the horses. All the king's horses. Don't put the Humpty Dumpty.
Yeah, no, don't touch these buttons, otherwise it'll turn off.
No.
I'll hold it. You talk, Humpty Dumpty.
Don't.
What other, Jack and Jill fell down the hill, or what other song do you know?
Jack and Jill?
Fell down the hill?
Fell down the hill?
You know Hickory Dickory Dock.
Hickory Dickory Dock, the mouse ran down?
No, the mouse ran up the clock.
Mouse ran up the clock?
Clock struck.
When?
The mouse ran?
Down.
Hickory Dickory?
Dock.
Okay, now let me talk. That was Adim again. You can see he's talking. I don't know how clearly you can understand him. I read this article in the U.S. News and World Report about kids in America who are bilingual. And it said that research has shown that bilingual youngsters are more imaginative and better with abstract notions and more flexible in their thinking than one language children. They also said that preschoolers who can speak two languages learn to read more quickly than their monolingual peers. And so they said some parents are taking their children to learn a second language even at the lower level just to get them to improve their minds. And I mean, Adim also is completely bilingual, so I think maybe that has an effect on their language and reading skills. I don't know. Would you mind sending me some more American stamps in your next letter before you go to Florida? I'm having to... Most of my correspondence is I'm still trying to get my computer over here. I bought a computer, an Apple computer. It's been in San Diego for 6 months now. I can't find anybody to carry it over here, and the customs laws also become strict, so I don't know what's going to happen with that. I'm going to have to pay duty on it to get it over. But so far, nobody has brought it, so we don't know. We've been reading about these new tax laws, and I was just curious whether I'm in the 15% or 28% bracket, because they said that for people in the higher brackets, it'd be better to sell capital gains before the new tax laws come into effect. If you're, if there's a difference there in the rates. They also said, we transferred these shares to the kids' trust, but it said according to the new tax laws, this would children under 14 are still taxed at my tax rate, even if the account was in existence prior to January 1st. So it looks like there won't be any tax savings for the which you would hope to get from establishing the trust for the children, if I read this article correctly. Yeah. One bad thing about the house, it's good that the dollar has been falling against other currencies, but it's remained pretty high against the rupee. The only trouble is that inflation in India is 8% still where we live. So prices have been going up, and the work is not going as fast as I thought it would. I'm now thinking they're not going to even be finished by the time we leave for America. I was hoping that everything would be finished. We'd be ready to move in when we get back. I don't know now. But I'm trying to speed it up as fast as possible. Sheila, as I said, is recovered, feeling better now. There's only two good things about her illness. She lost some weight, and also Adim stopped breastfeeding because she was in the hospital for those couple times, and he was away from her, and we completely broke him of that habit of nursing, which is a big step here, because he wasn't stopping on his own. She's got a lot of health problems, it seems. After she was pretty much recovered, then this cold weather, it's winter in India here now. And cold means, it's warm every day compared to where you are, but the cold is, like in the 60s in the night and everything. And Sheila had a little, what the doctor said was rheumatoid arthritis. So she had to take an injection of penicillin for that, and she's taking some analgesics to relieve the swelling, which controlled it pretty much. But he said, you'll probably have this the rest of your life. Which, her legs were real sore. So she's had, this hasn't been such a good last 6 months here. As far as her health goes, I'm doing fine. The allergy season is over, so I've got no problems. It's only lasts a couple months, and I ran out of those American tablets. Dad, I'm going to have to get a resupply when I come in, because they were the most effective here compared to these other antihistamines that are available here, which make you sleepy, of course. That's about all to report just now. I think I'm going to end this tape and record a little bit later some things, and Sheila wanted to say hello before we send this tape out to you. Or, I don't know, I might just go ahead and send it to you before I get your tape. We'll see. But I think I'll hold on to it for a few more days. Okay, bye. Sheila, will now say a few words to all our loved ones there.
Hello, Mom and Dad. How are you? I'm feeling better now and, walking around. And
I don't know.
Our children are fine and happy.
Huh? Our children, they're getting so mischievous, you know, it is hard to look after them. They're running around a lot, and I'm on every day, you know, jumping from somewhere and getting hurt and crying only for a few minutes, and after that, you know, he's getting better, but he forgets, you know, everything, and then next day again he's jumping. So he's getting more mischievous, you know. Hope, you know, when he comes to the Tulsa, you know, he won't do that, you know, because once he comes and, you know, he's climbing on the furniture and jumping and breaking things. Nowadays, you know, he's trying to break everything and trying to fix again. So none of toys are good. All they're broken pieces. So it is hard, you know, for us, you know, to manage with him, you know. Every day spanking, shouting, and he's crying. David is shouting a lot. But even that, you know, he is very sweet, but sometimes he doesn't listen. He's crying all day long because he doesn't take nap and he gets so cranky. And but once, you know, he plays with his friends, he's happy with them. Evening time, he will give us trouble, you know, going to bed, you know, he won't like to go to bed, you know, or he doesn't like to brush his teeth. Just he will cry and cry. David has to, you know, drag him and beat him and tell him to come on, this is bedtime. Every day it is going on. Since I'm sick, you know, he's in trouble. So everything is going. Adim is more mischievous too, you know. He's beating Aman every day a lot. But sometimes Aman beats him very hard and then Adim cries. Both, you know, they will play, you know, 5 minutes, you know, together, you know, nicely. And next moment, you know, they will fight and beating and crying and grabbing. Everything is going on like that.
She's preparing you for when we come to get all your peace and quiet now.
No, because, it is not peace, you know. Once
no, now they should get it before we invade their household. Anyway.
Okay, goodbye to everybody. Wish everybody they're all right. Tell hello to great-grandma for me.
Not your great-grandma. She's your grandma.
Oh, okay, grandma.
We call her great-grandma now to the kids, so.
Yeah, so.
They're looking forward to seeing her, too. Amin remembers her, Adim, of course. I don't even know. I mean, he sees your old picture here on my desk, and I tell him who that is, so he knows all the names. But, I mean, he's... Sheila's uncle just came to visit also, and he goes to them. I mean, he's not shy to go to people much, I think.
But
he's shy.
He's shy?
Well,
he's shy.
I think he'll go to Dad, at least. Yeah, what I started to say on the other side was, I am going to go ahead and send this tape tomorrow with... Lawrence Ryder, who's the publisher of Balji's books, who's leaving tomorrow, because you said you're going to Florida in January, so I'll get this off to you before we receive the tape from you, and then I'll write you a note that I got your tape whenever we get it. And as I said, we're going to be going to Bombay the 22nd of December for about a week, 10 days. So that's all for now. I'm going out to Maribor in the afternoon today to see about this pipeline. Running out there every other day, it seems.
So goodbye, everybody.
And love to George and Marcy,
yes, and
Sam, Paula, Steve, Ellen, Jared. Okay. Uncle Lou, Aunt Susan, everybody.
Yes.
Okay, bye-bye. Because I looked in the in what I have, sort of on 56 and 52 and 58, and really, you're not really mentioned as much as I thought you were. What I've been doing is, when I was editing this book, is the people who Bao didn't get a chance to meet with personally, and collect information from them. I've sort of been putting theirs in, you know, bit by bit, mostly the Western bottle lovers and some of the Indians who don't live in Pune, Bombay also. So where you are mentioned is actually just sort of wherever it comes in the Awakener accounts of 56 and 56, which is not much.
No.
So the people who met Baba personally, what we've tried to do is, you know, when it'll say, like, say, Henry Kashaudi comes or something, get a sort of a direct quote from him about that first meeting with Baba, that first impression. You know, I think that's important to people when they read it, you know, sort of people's first contact. And so everybody has sort of a small paragraph like that directly from them, in addition to background material of sort of how they came in the picture and, you know, what they were doing at the time and this and that. And besides that, any personal meetings with Baba that may have been private interviews, things that other people wouldn't, not in general meetings, but things alone with Baba that other people may not know, if there's anything that they feel is worthwhile to share, I've tried to put that in as well. So you had mentioned to me that you saw Baba first in 52.
Yes.
Seems to be working. Now, in 52, we have sort of that Ivy brought a group of Sufis. Were you amongst those?
Yes.
Those ones?
There? Yes.
So when actually did you have contacts with Ivy? Was it many years before this? Or,
I mean, my first contact with Ivy was in October 1945 when I came home from overseas.
Mm-hmm.
Peggy took me to her. Peggy wanted me to meet her. And Peggy had known her for several years prior to that. Peggy and Mercedes, Ivy's relationship was at the beginning one of a client. Peggy was a colorist. She was a very expert colorist and stylist in Elizabeth Arden's salon in Washington. And Ivy became one of her clients. And over a period of a year and a half, nothing was mentioned along these lines at all. And then Ivy noticed that Peggy was reading various books that gave her a hint that Peggy was searching. Peggy's first knowledge of Baba came from a newspaper in 1931. She was reading the Sunday morning paper with her mother in the recreation room and saw this picture of Baba in the what we called a rotogravure section. It was all sepia. And usually newsworthy people of the day would be portrayed there, pictures there. Just captions under the pictures were not articles. So it was a very popular section of the paper because it was sort of a thumbnail, something that you could go through quickly. So when Peggy saw Baba's picture, and the picture was of Baba standing on the deck of a ship and with a, like an open doorway behind him, and the caption said something, some reference to the Messiah or something. And usually at that time, newspaper articles would be sort of tongue-in-cheek, sort of, a, you know, the newspaper people's usual attitude towards anything like this was usually just a tinge of sarcasm, you know. They liked the ego trip of putting down anyone who made such claims, you know. It made them feel powerful or good or something. So I think the caption had some tinge of that in it. But that didn't faze Peggy. She looked at Baba's face and said to her mother, "Someday I'm going to meet this man." And 20 years later, she met him. She put that photograph in a so-called secret drawer in a secretary. And after we were married and moved into our present home, Peggy wanted to have the furniture redone. And when they refinished the furniture, they lost the picture. But it probably had disintegrated by that time. And of course, they didn't see any value to it. Maybe that wasn't intentional at all, but it got lost at that point. So Peggy's awareness of Baba began way back then. So then whenever Ivy told her about Baba, of course, I think probably something, some very internal feeling that was never lost came to life again. I don't know, but I would presume so. Mm-hmm.
Did she remember the incident that happened earlier? Ivy told her about Baba. She clearly remembered seeing this.
I don't know.
It could have been a later point.
Yes, it could have been. I don't know. Peggy was not reticent in talking about Baba. But it surprises me now to remember that we had very, very, very seldom did we discuss our relationship with Baba. It was just something that was there. It was something that was felt. It was something that was lived. And for some reason, I don't know what it was. But then there came a time we would get the notices from Fred Ella in New York about, you know, the different things that Baba wanted to convey to the West, that we come through that channel. And so there came a time when we knew that Baba was coming to the West, and we prepared to go to Myrtle Beach to meet him. And we drove down, of course, and not down 95 as we do now. It was not it's a straight shot now, but it wasn't then. We had to go quite a long distance farther. And we stayed in a motel, not on the center. And the morning, it was May 17th, 1952, that we met Baba. And I might mention in passing that we buried Peggy on the 17th of May this year.
Sure, could you shut that door, please?
So, as I remember, we were standing outside the barn, waiting to go in the barn to meet Baba.
Yes. Is this, there was, this was the public... This wasn't prior when he... Yeah, this 17th May, right, that's...
Yes.
There's a lot of people there.
But there were only a few there at that particular time. Maybe 8 or 9.
Oh, really?
So it wasn't anything like a public darshan for us. It was, as I say, there were very few people standing there. I don't remember who any of the others were.
Yeah.
We were dressed as though we were going to church. I had a jacket and tie on, and Peggy was dressed beautifully as always. And
I'm just so nervous that this is not easy.
So as we stood outside the barn waiting to go in to meet Baba, fortunately, I had no apprehensions. I didn't have the sort of nervous feeling that we have anticipating meeting somebody very important.
Really? But you had read Baba's books by this time?
Oh, yes.
But you wouldn't say you had accepted Baba's...
Oh, yes, we did. But at this particular point, his godhood was not uppermost in our mind. And I think this was a blessing for us. Because if I had gone in the barn anticipating the meeting, the personal meeting with God in human form, which I did believe him to be, I think I would have missed what he had to give me.
Mm-hmm.
I would have been so overwhelmed by that idea.
Right.
You see.
Would have been yourself.
Yeah. I think so. I think that perhaps he didn't allow me to get involved with that idea at that particular time. So Peggy had said to me on several occasions, if I thought that I could have helped one soul come closer to God, I would be so happy. So she was called in to the barn, and the screen door opened. I can hear it squeak now. And she went into the barn, and immediately I began to wonder what's happening with Peggy, because this was the only time that we ever were with Baba that we weren't together. I wasn't frightened, I wasn't apprehensive in the sense that I was worried, but I was just curious. So when Peggy went up to Baba, in gestures he said to her, "You have brought many souls to me." And I think there would have been nothing that he could have said that could have made her happier. It was a confirmation of what she said would make her very happy. And of course, coming from him, it meant everything to her. other people could have said, surely this has happened, but this really...
Yeah, from the authorities.
Yes, this really touched her heart and made her extremely happy. Peggy never, more than that, tried to express her blissful feeling at that moment. I think because of the intimacy of it, she was unable to. So the next thing I knew was I'm standing outside waiting. The next thing I know, somebody called me. And I went through the door. And as I did, I immediately saw him sitting there. I didn't see anyone else in the room. I was so overwhelmed with his beauty that I ran to him. You see, if I had been thinking about this man is God in human form and all that, I would probably not have been able to approach him.
Yeah.
Because of all those silly ideas that we've accumulated over years of ignorance about him. So he removed that, I believe. So I ran to him and I grabbed him in my arms. I just Peggy said later she was afraid I was going to hurt him because my embrace was so almost violent, you know. And as I held him very closely and our faces were all just inches apart, I looked into his eyes and I felt such relief. And I always say that the only way I can describe my feeling, and it doesn't even approach it, was I was a small boy. I was lost in my hometown, almost in my neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very frightened because it was getting dark. It was in the summertime, but darkness was approaching. And I was really frightened that I wouldn't find my way home. The idea of asking anyone didn't occur to me. I was just overwhelmed with fear.
Mm-hmm.
And so as I walked, I came to a Catholic church. And I noticed the streetcar tracks that passed down that street. And I remembered that this was the way we used to go to the park in the summertime for recreation. And I knew that I had to go to my left to find my home. And that kind of relief, I stopped crying. I was so happy to know that I would be home in my own bed that night. And this was the sort of relief I felt in Baba's arms. It was just as though, not only will I come home, but I am home. I can't describe it. This is my harbor. This is it.
Refuge.
This is my refuge. Yes. So in that embrace, along with feeling such great relief, I looked into his eyes and I heard the Manli say, "He loves Baba very much." And then I knew, hearing that, I was made aware that I loved him very much. Consciously aware of it. My heart told me so, but I didn't really know that until I heard those words. And then I started to cry. I was so happy that I couldn't stop. And then I heard this voice say, "Baba loves him very much." And I have always said since, if my hearing had been stopped at that point, and God forbid, if I had never heard another sound, I would have been content with knowing that. But it seemed that I had to hear that with my ears to know the confirmation in that. And I knew it was true because he told me that. You see, I had a feeling of love for him prior to that. But this, as in Peggy's case, this was the confirmation. This was the proof. And I felt so blissfully happy knowing this was true. It's sort of like the song, "Jesus loves me, this I know." So then I was looking into his eyes and he disappeared. I didn't see him at all. I saw this human form. I knew it was a very, very old person. But I couldn't actually see the form. I couldn't tell whether it was male or female. And it appeared to be wrapped in something like a hornet's nest. The only way I can describe it. And it looked as though that wrapping would, if you touched it, would just simply collapse. It was so dry and so fragile and so like that, you see. And I was trying to tell that form not, and I was concerned that perhaps that person didn't hear me or didn't. I wanted to say, don't be worried about anything. Let me take care of you. Mm-hmm.